Hi, everybody, and welcome to Best in Class with Sean Sullivan, coming to you live from Bill Curry Ford Studios in Tampa. What an exciting draft. I'm going to do the full draft recap for the Buccaneers, so strap in. This is going to be a good one. We're going to jump on the drafted players, the six that were drafted, and then we're going to get into the UFAs, and then we're going to go through there. We're going to talk about who's going to make the team, what their position's going to be on the team, who they're going to be competing with in depth. So get ready. Let's talk about Bill Curry first. Please visit us at BillCurryFord.com to see all of our amazing specials. Right now, we have employee pricing, which is the pre-tariff pricing that we did where the tariffs didn't happen. Now they're being delayed. You're actually getting the car less expensive than you would have prior to the tariffs. And right now, I have some 24s left over. I've got to make room for the 25s coming in. Not a gimmick. This is a real thing. We're doing up to $5,000 below factory employee pricing. So you can actually get the employee price, and then we're going to be lower than the employee price. Yes, that's correct. On all remaining 2024s, please visit us at BillCurryFord.com. See what I have left. Make your appointment. Come and drive the vehicle. You're never going to get a better price than right now, and your trade will never be worth more than it is right now. Just remember, don't worry, drive Curry. So I am so upset. After the draft, I mean, we had an amazing draft. We have a terrific general manager and a terrific team there at $1. Unbelievable the grades that we're getting. And listen, I'm not grading drafts. You want to know why I don't grade drafts? I talk to you about the players that I think are good or bad, but I don't grade a draft because they've never played a snap in the NFL. How do you grade that? Basically, all these great pundits are going, Jason Light should have drafted this guy in the first round, either a corner or an inside linebacker or a pass rusher, not a wide receiver. So their grades that they're giving the Bucs aren't really based upon the player. They're based upon the player's position. Now, getting into that, no one knows the position that the team needs more than Jason Light. I don't think anybody would argue that. He knows what position he needs on this team. Not these pundits who like watch or listen to the Bucs every once in a while because they have to follow the whole NFL. How do you grade somebody? It's so irritating, guys. So irritating that guys would sit there and say we have a B draft or a B minus draft because we didn't get the player that they thought we needed for our team need. Best player available doesn't mean best player available for your team need. It means best player on your board. And apparently, drafting six players that are terrific football players, extremely productive in college, right? So this draft has a theme. One, Jason Light went with productivity over let's wish they're good players or let's project them to do this in the NFL and let's project them to do that. No, we went after team captains, solid individuals, top character guys for Tampa, the city that we live in, and then also humongous production in college football. And we're going to talk about that. I mean, all-time guys, all-time leaders in this, the best at that, the best they've ever been at their college universities. I mean, they put this together and they said, you know what we're going to do on a team, by the way, that's won four consecutive titles for our division. Four consecutive division titles. This is a good, good roster. And guess what? All six of these players are going to make the opening day roster. Write it down. It's done. These six guys are on the team, barring injury, of course. So how do you find six spots? You draft really, really good players, and that's what we did in this draft. This draft is going to catapult us to the next level. And I think we filled some positions of need, but I also think more than just need, we got great football players on this football team. And the reason why I started with that little rant was because I'm tired of the Jason Light hate when these guys don't know what they're talking about. They have no idea where our linebacker status is. I mean, I literally read a national, and I'm not going to say his name. You guys can look it up. This guy's a national pundit for the NFL, big name guy, literally wrote in his draft recap that the Bucs needed to add a linebacker to our inside linebacker core because Devin White is in a contract year. And Levante David's about to retire. So let's just go. He probably didn't do too much research before he gave us a B-minus grade on our draft. He doesn't even know what players are on our team. So that's what I get irritated at. I put a lot of thought and energy and time into this podcast and about how I break down the players. I don't half-ass this. I spend a lot of time researching this, and I feel like the guys that do this for a living probably should do the same and not call it in. Drives me insane. The only thing they should be talking about the Bucks draft is these six players make a playoff team with four straight division titles. You're going to have a first, a second, a third, a fourth, a fifth, and a seventh make this team. That is an incredible job, Jason Light, and your team. All right, with the first pick in the NFL draft, in the first round, we picked Emeka Egbuka, Ohio State wide receiver. So 6'1", 202, ran a 4.45 40. Those are all solid stats. He had 81 receptions for 1,000 yards, 12.5 yards per carry or per catch, and then he had 10 receiving touchdowns last year. So I'm going to be using a lot of material from all different kinds of sources that I will cite at the end of the podcast. I'm not going to go through that now, but I really did an in-depth look at this guy and what he's going to be able to do. So besides the fact that you had all these exceptional Ohio State wide receivers, Marvin Harrison last year, I don't have to go through them all. There's a million of them. Their names have filled the NFL for decades, right? Emeka is the all-time Ohio State leader as a wide receiver. He actually played next to Marvin Harrison Jr. and actually had his best season as a sophomore. That's an incredible thing, right? So let's talk about what he's going to bring to the team. He has a rare combination of elite long speed and technical route running. There's been a lot of pundits who said that he's probably the best route runner coming into the NFL this year. Natural hands, very rarely drops a ball. Again, we talked about he's a route technician. He has terrific tempo off the line of scrimmage. He really understands the positioning of a wide receiver against a defensive back coming off the line. He does a lot of subtle things like head and shoulder fakes. He's very good at stop-start. He has very sharp cuts at the top of his routes. He consistently creates separation through precise footwork. So this is a guy that studies his craft. He has an advanced feel against zone coverage. He has an innate ability to find soft spots in the zone. Very Chris Godwin-like. That seems to be the comparison that everyone has for him. He's electric after the catch, combining track speed with vision and instincts honed in by a return game. So he is a kick and punt returner, but we're going to talk about that later. I don't believe that he's going to be doing that. He runs with competitive toughness. He shows a willingness to work through traffic. And of course, as you've listened to the Joe Bucks Fan podcast with Ira Kaufman, they talked about how his blocking ability and his willingness to block in the run game has been what a lot of the pundits have talked about. To me, that's great. That's like telling me that a quarterback with a great arm that can throw the ball down the field can also run for a first down every once in a while. That's about how much that means to me. But the fact that he's willing to help out teammates, that just goes to a character guy. Apparently, this guy has off-the-charts character on the way the Bucks do their draft board. He can be an immediate special teams contributor, but we'll see how the 19th overall pick, how much we're going to actually use him for that. We're going to talk about his RAS score, his RAS score, which is his athletic score. We've talked about this at 9.72. That's elite. So he didn't do all of the athletic testing, but he did enough to get a grade. His vertical, 38 inches with 8.85%. of the wide receivers tested, his 40-yard dash at 4.48 puts him in the top at 8.07. His 20-yard split at 2.57 puts him at 8.79 percentile. 10-yard split at 1.50 is one of the best times that for all wide receivers at 9.73 percentile of all wide receivers tested. His shuttle at 4.12, again, at 8.86 was the top percentile amongst wide receivers. So at 9.72, we got a hell of an athlete to go with the production that he had at Ohio State. 81.1% of his snaps were from the slot. As you know, Chris Godwin plays the slot, so it's going to be interesting to see how this works out since Chris Godwin made it very apparent last year that he wanted to play in the slot and he didn't want to play outside. So I think Emeka is probably going to be moved all around the wide receiver positions. He caught 60 passes for 785 and 9 touchdowns out of the slot. That's 2.41 yards per route. Many collegiate wideouts would have played secondary roles, but as I said before, when he played alongside Harrison Jr., he was still the best player on the field statistically. So there's a lot of guys that said Jason Light got a wide receiver, a starting wide receiver number two with the 19th overall pick. I think that that's a really strong statement when he hasn't taken a snap in the NFL yet. We don't know what he is. I think that's a projection. I'm not really big on projecting guys' production like that. I don't know if he's a wide receiver one or a wide receiver two. I think this year is going to be tough for him to show wide receiver one attributes unless we have an injury. But I think they're going to ease him into that role. So as a slot receiver, he also played Z, which was outside, an X receiver outside. His speed and ability down the field is also going to be a big key. I love his hands as well. So we're going to take a look at his versatility, right? So Ibuka's ability to play the slot and outside, just like I discussed, it could create offensive looks that Grizzard can really take advantage of in matchups, especially against third and fourth corners or even nickel corners. I mean, Amika's going to beat those guys pretty easy right off the line of scrimmage. He's known for his precise route running. We talked about that and finding coverages, ball tracking. He can high point the ball, playmaking after the catch. We already talked about blocker. We're not going to talk about that. His potential as a future starter, we discussed. There's a lot of people that believe he's going to be the fourth wide receiver, possibly the third wide receiver going into this year, with a development to become a number one wide receiver in the future. I believe that that's what's going to happen just based on his production. He was not only a standout football player, but he was also a baseball player, a five-star recruit and Gatorade Player of the Year in Washington as a junior in high school. Amika also earned a spot as captain on the Ohio State team in 2024, demonstrating the leadership qualities at a top, obviously, playoff championship contending roster. Amika was recruited by Bucks receiver Brian McClendon when he was in high school, and the two reminisced about those exchanges during the pre-draft process. So the connection that Amika had was already established with the Bucks receivers coach Brian McClendon. So that's a really key thing here. McClendon already knows what he's getting in Amika. He's the one that recruited him. They watched film together at the combine. They spent a lot of time together. The other top receiver on the board at the time that they drafted Amika was Matthew Golden, who was the wide receiver at Texas who ran the 4.3 that was drafted by the Packers later. Amika, apparently, between his athletic profile, his production in college, and his high character, scored higher on Jason Light's board than Matthew Golden did, or obviously Matthew Golden would have been the choice. After watching several clips with Jason Light talking about Amika, it appears that he was a top 20 pick, but a top 10 pick on their board after they took off some of the character concern guys, like the James Pierce Jr., the Mike Green. When you're taking those guys off the board, and they obviously, I don't believe that Jahad Campbell was on their board. That's my personal opinion. I don't think they gave him any consideration at 19. So if you continue to take those guys off the board, a player like Amika continues to move up. Now, one of the things that irritates me the most about this, listening to pundits talk, besides what I talked about earlier, was they were like, Jason Light just picking a safe pick in the first round with Ibuka. It's just a safe pick. He's going to be a solid football player. Jason Light's just trying to pad his first round bust percentages, where this is a pick that if you picked, let's just say you picked a linebacker or you picked a corner or you pick a defensive pass rusher, they're going to say, hey, there's more likelihood that those are not going to pan out. That's a really interesting thing. I actually heard that on NFL Network. I heard that on ESPN talking about how Jason Light likes to play it safe. And the reason why he's had draft success was he's drafting high character guys that he knows are going to be at least an average football player or better. But he doesn't take chances to see if he can get superstars. That's all, to me, a line of BS. You want to know why? Because according to the NFL statistics, the wide receivers drafted in the first round have a lower hit rate, meaning they sign a second contract with the drafting team, which is often used as a proxy for long-term success, compared to positions like offensive line. They said 27% of wide receivers drafted in the first round make it to a second contract with the same team that drafted them. They have a bust rate of 73%. It's one of the highest bust rates in the first round is wide receiver. That's a safe pick? Mm-mm. Absolutely not. Jason Light didn't play it safe here. He said, you know what? I don't care about the bust rate of wide receivers in the first round. I had my first pick in Mike Evans, which is going to be a future Hall of Famer. He's a Hall of Famer now. That worked out pretty well for us. And now he picks another first-round receiver in Amika Ibuka, and we'll see how that works out. The only thing that's safe about this is that Jason Light looked at his board, he saw a top 10 player, and he took him. And I have no problem with that whatsoever. It was a shock to me. You know, there was a wide receiver chatter prior to the draft. I thought that maybe that was some misdirection, but apparently it wasn't. So I congratulate Amika on becoming a Buck. I think he's going to be a terrific Buck. I'm very excited about it. But again, this is not a safe pick at that bust rate. Jason Light went out on a limb and drafted this guy at 19, so he must really believe in him. And guess what? Jason Light's got a proven track record of drafting. We have four consecutive